week as planned. We'll have a full news roundup at midday.
I'm William Ray, and this month at RNZ Podcasts, History Matters. Listen to my special crossover podcast of Black Sheep with number one podcast Nelly's Baby, catch up with a new series of Untold Pacific History, and learn about New Zealand Wars, Tauranga Moana, 160 years on. Explore our latest history content at rnz.co.nz/history or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 29 and a half minutes to midday. You're listening to 9 to Noon with Catherine Ryan. And let's welcome our next guest now. Right in the heart of Christchurch, a green space has risen from the rubble of the earthquakes where people are free to give and take from the land. Beside the Avon River, Otakaro Orchard Community Garden and Food Forest has 96 different fruit trees and an underscrub full of berries, herbs and medicinal plants. The trees are often bare, but that's exactly how the volunteers want them, encouraging people to come in and forage what they need. Work is underway to complete the education hub on site. It's a centre where people can learn how to grow their own food, cook, utilise community kitchens, and find the 70 community gardens around the city. It will also have a cafe, a greengrocer, a demonstration kitchen, a massive outdoor shared kai table, an amphitheatre and a hangi pit. Spokesperson Hayley Gulietta is passionate about food resilience and believes everyone should be able to walk outside and find a meal. She is in the Otatahi Christchurch studio. Kia ora, Hayley.
Kia ora, Catherine. How are you?
Good,
today?
Thanks. This is such a beautiful part of Christchurch. It was so devastated. So many suburban homes lost and deemed unsuitable to rebuild on. So just explain where this is positioned in this city, running along the Avon, Hayley.
So the Otakaro Orchard sits in between the what was going to be an arts bridge, but is a bridge, but also a fantastic bridge, out in the Band Rotunda. And it sits on the old Ernest Young site, which was a commercial building, six-storey commercial building that pancaked somewhat during the earthquake. And it also sits along the PGC memorial site where some lives were lost during the earthquake.
Goodness, so it is actually in the heart of the city. I had it a little further out east, but it is absolutely right in the heart of the, slightly on the eastern side of the central city, Hayley.
Indeed it is. It forms part of the north frame, which once we're completed will be finished, and it will be a beautiful walk from Victoria Square across to Margaret Mahee Playground.
Yeah. Wow, okay. Yes. So right in the heart of the city. Okay.
Absolutely.
And so just describe it. If I'm walking through the city and walk into it and through it, what am I experiencing?
Well, the first thing you'll see is the beautiful orchard. The idea came about, obviously, post-earthquake, and the government at the time had a blueprint for the city, and they wanted a community space, and they put that out to tender, and the Food Resilience Network and the Edible Canterbury Charter Group tendered for this and won the tender and started to set about putting in the food forest straight away. So the food forest is actually established and has been so since 2016. The building didn't start until 2019. So the first thing you'll see is the beautiful lush food forest, and then you'll see that the building has risen from that, and the first thing you'll note about the building is both of the roofs are actually living roofs, and we call them a blue-green roof, where they actually represent, this is something that I like to say, they represent from the Alps to the sea, because the top of the roof is very dry. And kind of looks like the foothills, and the bottom of the roof is quite wet and is actually acting as a wetland. And then across one of the roofs, we've got a full 36-bay solar array, which contains the building. Yeah, so you can't miss it. It's amazing.
It's just amazing. I've just twigged, actually, that Otakaro is te reo for the Avon itself, the Avon River itself, yeah?
Indeed, yes.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yep. So,
yep.
So these...
Place of play.
Mm. So this produce has been deliberately planted. It's all been a very deliberate project. And run me through some, then, of the 96 different fruit trees and of the wonderful produce there.
We've got an amazing array of trees, and we've got some things like medlars and quinces and pine nuts and things like that that you don't really see that often. which is part of our education ethos around teaching people that actually there's more than just apples. There's all sorts of other fruits, and then how you can, I guess, cook the fruit or deal with the fruit to eat it, because some things like quinces, as you might know, require a lot of cooking.
That's an incredible number, though. Yes. And also berries, because, again, Canterbury has its own particular seasons. It has quite full-on winters, very distinct seasons. But what sorts of berries are growing there?
Again, we've got a large variety. More than five varieties of raspberries. We've got thornberries, blackberries, blackcurrants, redcurrants. All sorts of things. So it is a food forest. So the food forest structure is that you have a canopy of fruit trees followed by an understory of berries. Often in a food forest you'll see a grapevine or a kiwi fruit growing on structures or over top of a tree. And then the next layer is medicinal herbs and edible herbs. And then a final layer is generally your underground things like parsnips and horseradish. And I was actually in there for part of the City Nature Challenge on Friday, and our first stop was the orchard. We got something like 150 different species at this time of year when things are starting to die back, so it was pretty incredible.
How do people know they're in there? Is it simply this abundance? Like, where does it sit next to the roads and the rest of the city? It's just this beautiful haven that you stumble across, is it?
Well, it's not on a road as such, so it's on the north frame, so you have to really walk past it.
So you distinctly walk through an entrance. You know where you are when you're...
Yes, you can't miss it.
And who's been involved in the 6 years, I think, since you won the tender for this green space?
The Food Resilience Network was set up by people working in the city at the time, so from the Horticultural Society, Soil and Health, Community Gardens, Te Whati Ora, Christchurch City Council, University of Canterbury. There's so many stakeholders who have signed the Edible Canterbury Charter. So our charter is really setting out objectives that we all want to achieve, and those objectives came directly from an earthquake disaster that we had that really showed us that we were really vulnerable as a city. And I think most regions are in New Zealand. If you're cut off, you only have a supply of a matter of days. And so that kind of pushed everyone together to go, okay, how can we as a city be more resilient and work together to do that? And that's how the charter came about. And so that group still regularly meet and form part of the network. So although we have a governing body, we don't make big decisions unless we bring the network together to talk about it. And at the moment, we're working quite closely with the Christchurch City Council to form a Food Security Council, which would then take this work into that kind of systems change space and policy, driving policy around food security in the city, which is very exciting.
So
can I answer that question? I'm not sure that I did.
No. I'm getting the vibe of this. It's a genuine grassroots community effort.
Absolutely, yeah.
Talk about this next exciting phase, because education's an important part of this, right? And what kind of education is offered already? There's youth education, for example. There's workshops. What else is already being offered?
So I guess I want to just quickly talk about the building. The building has been built by the community for the community. It's been a labour of blood, sweat and tears, but also a labour of aroha. There's so many people, I can't even name them all, who have contributed to the building of this building. And the building is an exemplar of sustainability in itself, which is a whole other conversation. But I guess once we're finished, and we're already doing the mahi around the education now, but the building will just give us a place, a home, that we can really touch more people. We can provide people information about where they can connect in their own suburb. We'll have displays of all of the work that's going on around the city in terms of food resiliency, and there's a lot. We've got an abundant, amazing group of people working around every corner of Christchurch at the moment, which is great. Not just community gardens, but our food bank network, our food waste, composting. It's just incredible what is happening. So I guess the hub is going to just help us bring those people together more often. We'll have a home for the conversations. We'll have a place where people can borrow the demonstration kitchen if they want to teach someone how to bottle or how to make a certain chutney, or if they've got an abundance of pears and they want to share that with people by turning it into something. And then we've got our greengrocer, which is really about promoting our local producers. So, and then getting people understanding that we've got an abundance and array of local producers that make cheese, bread, drinks, all sorts of stuff. And we're going to really focus on that and highlight those people to the city to get the city to get behind our local producers. Because if we don't buy their product, then we won't have a local supply, you know.
So, where is the building going to go, and how are you going to make it happen? How is it financially going to be made happen?
So the building's nearly finished.
So
like I said, we started 2019. We've had a couple of pauses where we've had funding shortfalls, and we're in a little bit of a pause at the moment. So we're just on the final leg. We've got all of the materials we need to fit it off. So what we need at the moment is just a little bit more money for labour. To get all of those bits and pieces all put together, and to fit off our electrical and our plumbing, and then we'll be good to go.
What's the actual site of it within this north frame? What's the actual site going to be, or the actual road that it's on? Gosh, I'm just looking at some gorgeous images.
It's sort of encompassed between Manchester and Kilmore Street.
There you go.
But it is actually technically 227 Cambridge Terrace, but it's no longer a drivable road. Yeah. Yep.
So how much is, let's just use the moment to get, so we can rally some coins. How much more is needed to get to the point of building?
So we're looking at just under 300,000 to get it finished.
Yeah. And so, the ways you've been fundraising, everything from Pledge Me's to, I'm sure, looking for corporate involvement and so forth here?
Yep. So Pledge Me campaigns, we've had great support from lotteries and from RATA and from the Christchurch City Council. We've had some wonderful corporate sponsors such as Consilium, who have just come to the bat at times when we've really needed it. And Pico Whole Foods has been helping us get on off the ground and get our farm established. So we've just had this amazing support from so many people. So if there's a corporate out there listening today who wants to sponsor a demonstration kitchen or a demonstration garden, then we'd be really open to a conversation.
And who is just, you know, that with the foragers, you must, when you're out there sometimes, just meet people or see people and you know, what are some of the experiences you've had with people coming and sharing this resource right in the heart of the city?
I think the biggest thing is that the city is wanting to have 28,000 people living in there, and it's starting to happen, and there's a lot of apartments getting built around us. And what we're seeing is that there's been a lot of older retired people who have retired from their homes with yards into an apartment without a garden. And so they come along to our working bees, and it's just a place where they can still be in touch with the land. And they're building a new, because we're kind of building a new community around there as well, because there wasn't really a community around there before. So it's been a really awesome thing to see these people come to the working bees, but actually make connections with one another, and they have all these little relationships outside the orchard, which is what it's all about, is bringing people together. And just seeing some of our, Christchurch Central's got lots of new immigrants and things that land and typically land in Christchurch Central, perhaps before they go out and find their home or whatever. And so some having families come who from other cultures, and you can see that they often can identify foods that perhaps are a bit unusual for us, but we grow it in the garden, and you get excited about seeing something that's from their homeland is pretty exciting for me. It's a safe place for some of our homeless community to be able to just have a seat during the day and talk to people and, connect with people. So, it's really quite amazing.
The other thing that you mentioned is that the community gardens are all over the city. 70 is an impressive number. I mean, many towns and cities have their community gardens and their allotments, but that's a cracking number. Worthy of the garden city. And how do they kind of cooperate and unite?
We have a very strong community garden association here in in Christchurch, and so the community gardens get together a lot with activities and bus tours. We share resources. If someone has got access to something, typically people share it amongst each other. I guess our role in that is to smooth the policy away, to smooth the way for spaces, public spaces, for people to be able to do that. And then they're really well supported by our Community Gardens Association, which is amazing. Yeah, yeah. And we're seeing gardens pop up, not just your traditional community gardens, but we're seeing a lot of organisations that are popping community gardens in within their own little community, which is awesome as well. So the more spaces that we can encourage and help resource, the more people then get to know where their food comes from, because that's one of the problems that we've got, is this huge disconnect between how food is grown and how we end up eating it. Yeah.
Very good. Thanks for that. All the best with the fundraiser. Keep in touch when you think you're nearer to getting that building underway, the education hub.
You're going to ask me?
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah.
I'm just wondering if anyone wants to see the building. This weekend we've got the Open Christchurch Architecture Festival, and the Otoka Orchard will be open Saturday and Sunday. And there's another 50 buildings around the city that are open as well. So we've got some organised tours at 10 o'clock and 3 o'clock every day. And I think our architect tour at 1 o'clock's completely booked out, but you might want to jump on the Open Christchurch Architecture website to check it out. But yeah, you'll be able to see some of the internal structures, like the adobe bricks being actually put together and installed, and a tour of the building, and understand the connection between the food forest and the building. I just wanted to give that a plug.
Yeah, no, absolutely do that. So it's seriously underway already, is what you're saying, yeah?
Yeah, we're almost there. So if you
just another 300, if you don't mind.
Yeah, it's better than the 200 that the cathedral needs.
Now you're starting it. Now you're pushing buttons.
That was a bit naughty, wasn't it?
You are pushing buttons. Hayley Galeta, yeah. Thank you. She is with Otakoro Orchard Community Garden and Food Forest in Christchurch.